Okay, we're doing our last week on our series called Believe. Believe had to do with Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 23, that says, anything's possible if a person believes. And that's my vision for you all in this church. Anything's possible if you believe. So do you believe? Yes, we believe. All right, so I'm wrapping up today on the series. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what Navy SEALs do before they go on a mission? It's actually quite biblical. Do you know what a bunch of athletes will do before they go into their big playoff? It's actually quite biblical. And one of them is, you know, I was cruising Google, tell me this stuff. I just love talking to Google. But anybody know who LeBron James is? Place for the Cavalier basketball play? Yep. Oh, my Ohio people over there go, yeah. Well, this is what he does before he goes into the playoffs. All right. He says he tweets zero dark 30 23 activated. And what that means is before he goes into the playoffs, he doesn't want to hear all the people have to say about him. And he just wants to concentrate on his game. He wants to concentrate on what his coach is telling him. So he goes zero dark. That, you know what, guys? I think we might have to do that. Yep, I think we ought to. All right, because sometimes in life, you have all this junk that's really negative, and I think we should do what the Navy SEALs do and LeBron's. We need to go dark and turn off the negative things that happen in our life. Now, it doesn't mean we go, they're not there. They're not, you know, don't go, oh, they're not there. All right, they are there, but how do we see them and how do we walk through them? So that's what we're going to talk about today, how we should ignore a bunch of stuff that's coming at you. All right, that's coming at you. So here's my big idea, my main idea, the one thing I want you to remember by the time you get to the end of this parking lot and when you get home tonight, this afternoon, is ready? All hell breaks loose when your faith is loosed. Write that down. All hell breaks loose when you loose your faith, or when your faith is loosed. Now, y'all know what all hell breaks loose is, right? Yeah, so you're not going to go and tell everybody your pastor cusses all through the service. Because I am going to say, all hell breaks loose. All hell breaks loose. I am going to say it because I want you to remember it. All right? Besides, every once in a while, it's nice to cuss something. All right. So what does it mean when all hell breaks loose? Trouble just comes just like tsunamiing on top of you. Trouble just comes all over your life. That's when all hell breaks loose. But I really want to focus on the last part, when your faith is loose. So all hell breaks loose when your faith is loosed. And that's the part we're really just going to dig in today, that you're going to get when you walk out of here and carry with you the rest of the week. So what does it mean? Okay, so what does it mean? Okay, I'm reading my Bible and this scripture just starts speaking to me and I see the promise. The word of God is God's promise. I see this promise that God made to me, and I believe it, and I say I receive it. And I guarantee the moment you step out on that, all hell breaks loose, right? Anybody ever have that? Okay. Or you're praying, God, I see in your word this promise, and this is for me because you said it. I believe it. I receive it. And I guarantee you, you won't even have time to close your Bible someday. And all hell breaks loose when you lose your faith. All righty. How about this one? The Lord starts dealing with your heart. Anybody ever have the Lord just start speaking? It's not an audible voice. It's just this nudging. Yeah, it's a good thing. And he starts dealing with your heart. He wants you to take a direction over here. Take some steps. I don't know, maybe take a step to go back to school. maybe a step to do something new in your business that everybody's telling you it's not going to work. But the Lord starts dealing with your heart, and I guarantee when you step out, all hell breaks loose. Anybody ever had that happen? Right? How about this? Do you remember, this happened to me. I remember the day and the moment the Lord started speaking to me, Dee, you've received Jesus, now I want you to be water baptized. I remember, man, and I was like, and then he just would just push it on, just put it on my heart. Dee, I want you to be water baptized. So I decided I was going to make a public stand, because that's what water baptism is, a public stand of who Jesus is in my life and what he did in my life and he's going to do. So as soon as I make that stand, you know what? My boss said, that's it, girly. You're going to work every weekend until you die. I was waitressing back then. And I was like, all hell broke loose when I loosed my faith, all right? And it can be where somebody in your family goes nuts. Anybody ever have that happen? And you made, not nuts, but you know, all that. And it happens as soon as you make a decision to step out. Maybe this is what's happened in your heart. You just have this passion. You live it. You breathe it. It's always in your mind on whatever you do. And it's so you have this passion, and it could be to volunteer with. I had this happen years ago. This lady, she says, Pastor D, I just have this passion for babies. I just think about them. Now, she had raised her family. She didn't want to have any more babies, but this thing stayed with her. And I said, Rhonda, what? Did you ever think about going to York Hospital and volunteering in the NICU and stuff? She goes, why, my goodness. So, but it was really interesting. So she had this passion. She decided to step out on it. And then, oh, man, ready? Say it with me. All hell broke loose, right? Okay, that happens. Maybe you've been learning in the Word. And you've been learning by watching, like, Joseph Prince or whoever on the TV, and you've been studying this out, and they've been teaching on the tithe. Sure got quiet in here. Okay? And you're learning that the tithe is 10% of your income that you offer up to the Lord for the kingdom of God in the house that you're planted in. So you've been learning this, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do the big 10. Okay, God, I can do the big 3. So you decide to step out on what you've been learning and decide to start tithing the 3 till you get to the 10. And your boss says, sorry, we're having layoffs, and congratulations, you're first. What happened? All hell broke loose, right? All hell broke loose. And guys, it can happen in any area of your life. Any area of your life, all hell breaks loose when you start to loose your faith. So let me tell you a story, and we'll get a little bit more into it, talk about all hell breaks loose. Years ago, I used to play tennis pretty good, and then years went by, and this is how I play tennis. So it's probably about 8 years ago, Cassie and I, Cassie's my youngest one, and we decided we'd play tennis. And tennis is, we don't serve. Can't do that anymore. Okay. And tennis means we volley the ball. We just run around like this. And I never do backhand. So I'll run circles so I can do forehand. So we went to go play at our little community in York, New Salem. They have two sets of courts there. So we go play, and we're just running back and forth, hitting them over the fence, chasing them, and then we finally got a volley going. And I'm so sorry, but this competitive thing just comes out of me. It usually takes about 15 minutes, and lo and behold, so I'm sitting here thinking, okay, Cassie hits the ball, and I volley it back, and then I try a little backhand. It's good. I'm feeling this. I'm going to get her. So she hits the ball to me, I get it and hit, and I run up to right to the neck because I am going to slam that booger right on top of her the next time. And I did. The ball comes to me. Wham! So then I thought, I better get ready in case she gets there. So I turn to go, but the problem was my township nets are so holy, like holes this way, my foot got caught in the net. And I am like, I didn't know that, so I am like full speed. And bam, I went down. Cassie comes over, starts praying over me, and I'm going, head, move. Shoulders didn't break. Hand. Okay. You know, it was, okay. Why do I tell you my funny story and I only volley? Okay, this thing's slipping today. Sorry, guys, Lane. I know you're trying to record this thing. I just want to tell you, I guarantee you, anytime you decide you're going to step out for the promise of God or what God's dealing in your heart, it's like the monster grabs your foot and it just tries to take you down. Okay? Do you see me on the floor there, splat? All righty? I'm telling you, we have an enemy and he wants to just in a couple of the Gospels. And Jesus goes over four types of Christians and four types of soil. And it's actually four types of Christians and their heart. Their heart. He's going to talk about that. And it's all about a farmer who's planting seed in these four types of soils. Everybody know that, right? So I want to look at the second one, the second type. And he says there's a farmer who went out and planted seed in a soil that was shallow. Like it only had about 1 or 2 inches of topsoil on it. And then underneath it was this hard rock. Everybody know that? Yeah, underneath it was a hard rock. And so the farmer plants it. The blade comes up. The plant turns out to be real big and beautiful. And then the sun comes up and it scorches it and it just withers and it just doesn't do well because it only has a little bit of soil and the rest is rock. It can't get nourishment down there. So Jesus goes on and explains these four different types of soil. And the disciples are like, okay, Jesus, that was a really nice story. I'm so glad everybody heard that. But what does that mean? So he goes, explains to it. Don't you love it when Jesus explains? P.S. Write this down. You can ask him anything. I read my Bible and I go, huh? Lord, what does that mean? You can still do that, just not just in the Gospels. You just go ask him. He loves to expound his word to you. Okay, moving right on. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. This is what he says. Like others like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Hear the word and at once receive it with joy. So the seed is the Bible, is the word of God, is the promise. Everybody got that? The seed is the word of God. So write that down. Receiving it with joy. Receiving it with joy. Okay, that's just you saying, all right, I will, Lord. I'll be water baptized. All right, Lord, I'll start tithing. All right, Lord, I'll take that step that you've been nudging my heart at. All right, Lord, okay, and you receive it with joy. Okay, everybody with me? Now, here's the problem. This story here, who's he writing or telling about? He's talking about Christians. And he's not talking about the bad ones that just went and robbed the bank and shot everybody up. He's actually writing about good Christians. Okay? He's writing about good Christians. And but the thing is, the enemy. Everybody say the enemy. Yeah, the enemy. The enemy hits you right away before you have time to get rooted in the truth. T-R-U-T-H. The enemy grabs your foot, tries to slam you down before your roots get down into the truth. So if they would have understood what I was going to teach, they'd just do fine, but they didn't. So, let's read the next scripture here. Mark 4:17. Let's read the next part. But since they have no root, they last only for a short time. When trouble, problems, storms, crud, okay? When troubles or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. Okay, so what's quickly fall away? That means they just step back. They just start stepping away, okay, from that word. They step back. That's all that means. Okay? So, y'all know you have an enemy. Y'all know that? Okay, you have an enemy. And by the way, he doesn't like you. I love telling people, oh my gosh. They go, it is nothing personal. You're not anybody super fantastic or beautiful. He just doesn't like you. And the reason being, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, he knows he's lost you. Right? He knows he's lost you. And he can't keep you out of heaven because... who's the Lord and Savior of your life? Who gives you eternal life? Jesus. Okay. So here's all he wants to do. He wants to stop you, grab your foot, smack you down. He wants to stop you from being productive in your life. That's it. He just wants to stop you from being productive. And I'll get a little bit into that later on. All right. So as soon as you're reading the word, you're like, this is God's promise for me. This is my situation. This is what God spoke in the word. God, we sang this song, it's unshakable and all that. And I believe it and I'm going to receive it and I'm going to have it. I have it. Okay. All he wants to do is stop you. All right. From producing. All righty. So the last part, he says, when trouble or problems or storms comes or persecution, notice when it comes. It comes because you have the word. It comes because of the word. It just comes because of the word, the Bible. All righty. So whatever you decide to say about a promise that God wrote in the word for you, whatever it is you decide to say, and you say, listen, Lord, I believe this promise. I believe it's true. I believe it's mine. And then you receive it with joy. Okay. You receive it with joy. You could all smile when I say that. You receive it with joy. All right. The enemy's going to try to stop you and get you to back away. He's going to try to stop you and get you to back off of it. All righty. And it could be, how many people know this? Somebody received the Lord Jesus. They had this encounter and they prayed and they said, Jesus, I believe you're the Savior. I believe you died for my sins. I receive you in my life. And poof, nothing happens in their life. They never do anything, okay? Guess why? All hell broke loose when they decided to lose their faith. Or maybe you're a believer. You're a believer and... you're believing this truth. You're standing on this truth. You're doing everything it says. And you know what happens? Then the troubles come. Then the persecution come. And all of it has to do with, guess what you did? You loosed your faith. You grabbed hold of what God said. God is true to his word. You found this word and it's speaking to your life and you grab hold of it. And all he's trying to do is bring all hell on you because you loosed your faith. So all hell breaks loose when you lose your faith. Amen? Well, that's not a great amen, but it'll get better at the end. All righty. Okay, I want to tell you two Old Testament stories. The first one's going to be about Daniel. Daniel is this incredible guy. Just incredible, the life of Daniel. So when you want to sit and go, wah, 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 my life is like this, just zip it. Because Daniel's life was not a piece of cake. The story of Daniel is in captivity. Actually, all of Israel is in captivity and they are taken into Babylon. Okay? All of Israel is taken into Babylon. He's in captivity. What does that mean? He's a slave. Yeah, he's a prisoner. He works for nothing. Okay? Someone else tells him what to do. All right? So Daniel's in captivity and, you know, he's being exalted and stuff like that, but he can't say, hey, I'm taking a vacation. I'm going home. That's not what you get to do when you're in captivity. So here we are, Daniel, this incredible man, and he starts crying out to God. Now, I had to laugh. I was thinking if it were me, I'd go, I don't like it here. I'm going to go home. That wasn't his prayer. That's why I think he's incredible. Praise the Lord. He's incredible. He starts crying out and he goes, God, what is the future of Israel's people? What is the future of Israel? Okay. I want to know what's going to happen in the last days. That's his cry unto the Lord. Okay. Now, this is really important. The book of Daniel that you read in your Bible is equivalent to the book of Revelation. Okay? And it all has to do about talking about the last days. And it's really important to God. So it was really important to God when Daniel prayed, Lord, tell me what's going to happen to the people of Israel. What's going to happen to this nation? It was really important to God. And it was so important that God sent an angel to tell him. So he'd write it down and not muff it up. Okay, so God sends this angel. Daniel prays, and God commissions an angel. Angels are messengers sent by God by his word. You want angels moving? Speak the word. Just write that down, little golden nugget. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor D. Alrighty. So after he prays, the angels commission the messenger angel from the Lord God. 21 days go by, and Daniel's getting a little frustrated. You know why? Nothing. He's not hearing nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. Yeah. All right. Anybody ever go? Okay. So he's sort of like that. And then the angel of the Lord, the angel shows up 21 days later. And here we are, Daniel 10, verse 12. They'll pop it up on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. But you can just jot that down. You can look it up later. Daniel 10, verse 12. And this is what the angel says when he shows up on day 21. Ready? Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble. Oh, I love that word. Humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Okay. So, guys, this is so important. God hears you. God hears you the first time. He doesn't hear you because you're screaming. Anybody have one of those screaming things of God? I've screamed it. Okay? He doesn't hear because you're crying. He loves you. He's Father. And he loves to hear from you. He does hear from you. He hears from you the first time. And all hell breaks loose afterwards. Okay? All hell breaks loose behind the scenes after your prayers, especially in this one here. So the enemy tries to stop your prayers being answered, and all hell breaks loose. Now look at verse 13. This is the angel telling him what happened. Occasionally I'll get a phone call I have a scheduled appointment and scheduled at 1 o'clock, and 1 o'clock goes by, 1:10 goes by, and finally I get a phone call from that person, and they'll say, Pastor D, I am so sorry, especially nowadays we have cell phones, I am stuck on traffic, there's a tractor trailer, I am late, I'm sorry, okay? Well, that's so nice, I like when you do that, but this is the angel doing the same thing. He's telling why he's late. This is his story. Ready? He said, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me." Alrighty, now, the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me. So we have this angel, right, that the Lord sent to him with a message, and he's being resisted by the prince of the Persian kingdom. Guys, this is not like the real king, the real prince of flesh and blood. This is a evil spirit, a demonic being, one of Satan's bad guys, okay? This is not really the king that lives in Persia. Y'all on it? All righty? So, and then he says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there and with the king of Persia. All right. So the prince of Persia and the king of Persia, they're actually the same. All right. They just kind of changed up the wording. All righty. I checked that out in the Hebrew. Just say, oh, thanks, Pastor D. All righty. So, here's what's going on. Pinch yourself and say, ow. You are flesh and blood, right? Ow. This is flesh and blood, all righty? And now, the flesh and blood prince or king of Persia, he's not going to see an angel, is he? He's not going to stop no angel, is he? No. He's flesh and blood, all righty? But the Bible teaches us that there's an unseen realm that God has. Okay, and there's unseen angels. They're moving. They're messengers, and they're moving and stuff like that. But there's also the enemy, the devil, and he's got these beings, and they're unseen. And this is what's going on here. All righty. So this is what's going on here. Now, y'all know Ephesians chapter 6. It's about the armor of God. Everybody read the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Da, 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 the sword of the Spirit. Da, da, da. Okay. All right. Verse, what is it? Just write it down. They're not going to pop it up. But verse 12, it goes and talks about the armor. And then it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and, ouch, blood. It's not that, right? We're not wrestling with people, live people, okay? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers, and depending on what translation you've got, okay? So that's what it's saying there. Now, so you've got this unseen realm. We have an angel commissioned by God, all right, to bring him the message. And then we've got this evil being, right? So Daniel prays, and then this evil being, this evil spirit, okay? What is his job? What is his job? Well, today, and he's still doing the same, Satan's evil spirits are still doing the same. They want to blind your eyes that you cannot see the truth when you read the word. They want to blind your mind so you can't understand. All right. That's kind of pretty much what their job is. All right. And, this guy, this evil spirit, his responsibility, back then in the back over there is to, get the evil people to respond to these evil being mean and bad things, okay? And he's taking his orders from the enemy, the devil. That's all that is. Okay, you just had Bible class 101 on the unseen demonic world. All righty. Praise the Lord. So the story goes on. So we have this messenger that's sent, and then we have this evil spirit that resists him and for 21 days. And then Michael is sent. Who is Michael? Michael is the archangel Michael. Michael is the great warring angel. And listen, the moment Michael gets on the scene, it's done. It's not like a 21-day battle. It was done in a blink of an eye. So isn't that awesome? Okay, but here's what I want you to know. All hell broke loose, even when Daniel prayed. That's what the whole story's about. All hell broke loose, even when Daniel prayed, okay? So we have days. So how do I do this in my life? Well, the moment I pray, I find that promise. Find that promise from God, and God cannot lie. His word will not return void, right? All that. And I say, that is mine. I believe I have received it. God, I thank you. You're moving in my life. The moment that happens, guess what? there's an attack. But you know what the positive side, every time you pray something, pray the word of God, the positive side is God commissions his angels to go forth to bring to pass whatever the word is. So praise God. Keep praying. Keep speaking the word. And God is going to commission his angels to bring the answer to you. Even if I don't see those angels, I'm going, God, you said, you promised. Thank you very much. God, you said, I got it. Thank you very much. All righty. Praise the Lord. Here's another story about the enemy that tries. This is the key word. Tries to attack us. Tries to attack us when all hell breaks loose, okay? It's Nehemiah. Anybody read the story of Nehemiah? Well, turn in your Bible to Nehemiah. We're going to go read it, okay? Nehemiah is also a captive, and he's in the Persian Empire. And Israel has been captive for 152 years. They were taken out of their homeland, brought over there, and they have been captive for 152 years. Shoo! I don't even think I'd like a month, okay? This is 150 years going on. And during that time, actually, Nehemiah was born there as a captive. He's like a couple generations into this, all righty? And then we've got this king. Okay, let's see if I can pronounce it. Artaxerxes. King Art, okay? King Art. King Art actually is the king where Nehemiah is living. And he's actually a good king. He's a good king that is going to listen to Nehemiah's heart. And we'll get into that. And he lets him build the wall. So he's a good king. He's a good king. So the story goes, and you can turn over to Nehemiah chapter 4. By the way, Nehemiah is captive, and he is a servant. And do you know what his job description was? You'll crack up. He's chief bartender. He is. He's in charge of all the liquor. That's the Message translation, okay? And I'm probably pretty sure that the king really likes him. Hey, you want another one? Right? So we've got Nehemiah, and he's got this high position, and God starts dealing with his heart. Listen, guys, God deals with all our hearts to do and to serve him. God deals with your heart to do things, and there'll be seasons. He'll deal with your heart on this, and then he'll deal on your heart on this. So God's dealing with his heart to do something, and he laid on his heart, and he said, hey, Nehemiah, the land that you were taken from, your people, the Israelites were taken from, people are going back. There's a remnant there, and they've rebuilt the city, or they're in the process of rebuilding the city. But the wall needs to be rebuilt. Now, why would you build a wall around your city? Protection, yes. And it also makes everybody else think you got it together. Just my side view on that. All right, so protection, and then they see this wall. Your enemies see the wall, and they're like, man, they must be doing really good. We're not going to mess with them. So God deals with Nehemiah's heart, and he goes to the king. He's a captive. He's the chief bartender, serving up all the liquor. And he says, dear king, God has laid on my heart to go back to Israel to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. Will you let me go? Look, look, look. Sure, you can go. All right, and he lets him go. Praise the Lord. You guys are so funny. I thought it was how funny. I'm telling you what. Lord, praise the Lord. So he goes back to build the wall. Now, King Art has these other leaders, and they are ticked. They go into rage that the king would allow Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem to build this wall. I mean, they're just over the top, okay? So the reason why we're going to go look at this, I want to show you the different ways that the enemy tries to attack. This is why the enemy tries to attack. So Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. Now, these are the enemy guys. Now, Sanballat, is that right? Yes, was very angry, okay? Very angry when he learned that they were rebuilding the wall. And he flew into rage and mocked the Jews. Verse 2, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? A little bit of mocking going on, right? Okay. Do they think they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? He's just mocking and making fun of them. Do they actually think they can make something of stone from a rubbish heap and the charred ones that are left? Okay, so here's what's going on. This happens to you and I all the time. Every time we go pray, we find the promise of God. We go, God, this is your promise. You wrote it, and this is for me. I believe I receive it. I'm stepping out on it. The enemy, this is how he wants to attack. He wants to put doubt in your mind. He wants to put doubt in your mind. So write down, attack number one, put doubt in your mind. This, God can't do this. This is not going to work. You're just going to fall on your face. He starts putting doubt thoughts in your mind, okay? Matter of fact, he floods it. And you're like, well, he's just going, no way, it's not going to work, all righty? So number one, attack. He wants to put doubt in your mind. And it's not so much your mind. He's trying to make you doubt the promise of God. He's trying to make you doubt God. He's so dumb because it didn't work with Nehemiah. It did it. It didn't work with him. And this is the next thing that happens. The next thing he'll do is he'll try to cause all sorts of problems in your life. Number two, the next thing is he'll try to put all sorts of problems in your life. So here we are, Nehemiah 4:6. When Tobiah the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked it, that stone wall would collapse even if a fox walked across it. Let's see, did I get off? Oh, excuse me, that was 3. Let's do. Yep, no, verse 6. Thank you very much. And at last the wall was completed and half of its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. I love people who work with enthusiasm. I had my son yesterday helping me with the chainsaw, cutting down more branches. There was not an enthusiasm bone in him. Nope. And I just kept going, thank you, Jesse. I'm so glad you're helping your mother. You're just doing it with joy. Give me this look. Just, you can tell him I said that. Okay, verse 7. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. Verse 8. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. Verse 9. But we prayed. This is what we're supposed to do. But we prayed when trouble comes. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. So what actually happens is they're going to try to attack. They've got this bad thing's going to happen. And Nehemiah divides the people. Half of them have a sword and the other half are building. Half of them have a sword to protect while the other half is building. And it kind of slows them down, but they end up by finishing the job and completing it. And then in verse 5, and you can go read the rest of this week, the next attack is they start having internal strife with one another. The people you love start fighting. Anybody ever have that in your house? Your people. Must be my house. Nobody else. Your people that love you, that love each other, they start fighting, okay? So isn't that like the enemy? First he puts doubt, right? Then he starts causing all these problems. And then he starts messing up your relationship with all your people that you love. And then you're dealing with the S word, strife. Anybody ever have strife come in your door? With your family. With your church family. That one cracks me up. Not this church. It was somebody else's, right? All right. But the good part is they overcame. And then in chapter 6, we got Nehemiah's, the guys that can't stand him. They're close to the king. And those guys go and lie about him. They go tell a lie to the king, and they go, King Art, because that's such a cute name. You know, Nehemiah, you gave him permission to go rebuild that wall, but king, you know what? He's rebuilding that wall so it'll surround the city, and then they're going to, when you come to visit or come to get your stuff, they're going to attack, and they're not going to let you in, and they're going to raise up their own king. Bunch of lies. Your pants are on fire. Bunch of lies. So they do that. They go face to face with the king and they make up all these lies. And the king goes stomping up to Nehemiah. He goes, Nehemiah, this is what these guys are saying about you. Is that true? And Nehemiah says, no way, dear king, I love you. And thankfully, the king believed him. Truth always wins, guys. All right? So the king believes him and he lets him go finish the wall. So Satan will try to attack you and all hell breaks loose. So again, the next time God deals with your heart to start stepping out on the promise, all hell breaks loose when you let your faith out the door. All righty. So then you go, Pastor D, what am I going to do? What should I do? I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to give you 3 things to do. Write this down. 3 things to do. When all hell breaks loose, when you release your faith, 3 things that you do, all right? 3 things you do. Number 1, focus on the truth. Focus on the truth, okay? You have to focus. So whenever you step out, whenever there's a scripture that you find as God's promise to you, whenever God's dealing with your heart, you need to focus on that. That's the truth. The word of God is truth. The things God speaks to is the truth. You have to focus on it, okay? And here's a really good Bible story that has to do with this. So Jesus has just ministered to hundreds and thousands, and he's with his boys, the disciples, and it's the end of the day, and he says, hey, listen, guys, go get in the boat, go across, and I'll meet you over there. And Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray. Little golden nugget, write this down. When you've had a long day, people are just yanking everything out of you. You're man, I thought a long day was four kids, okay? That was easy some days to what I'm doing now, okay? But when you've had those long days, Jesus went and prayed, okay? Go find your place of prayer, okay? Build yourself back up. So that's your little golden nugget. Okay, so the boys are in the boat, and they're heading, they're obeying him. They're heading across the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden this huge storm comes upon them, and they think they're going to die. And they're like, ah, we're going to die, we're going to die, okay? And Jesus starts walking on the water by them. I really think he was just going to walk by them. I don't know. Okay, so Jesus starts walking on the by them on the water in the middle of the night. And guess what your response might be? Ah! Right? Ah! It's a ghost. That's what they're thinking. It's a ghost. And Peter, I love Peter. Peter turns around and goes, no, it's not a ghost. It's Jesus. Praise the Lord. So he says, you all know the story, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. In other words, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come. And Jesus says one word, maybe two. Come, Peter. Come, Peter. Guys, that one word is the same thing for you. You get in the Word of God. You find a promise of God. That's the one word you need. And you come. All right, just step out of the boat. So Peter steps out of the boat. He probably turned around and goes, hey, boys, this is really cool. Come on, jump in with me. All right, I don't know. And he might be doing the little, whoo, 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 this is so cool, splashing with Jesus in the water. I don't know, but I just think that's kind of cute. So I think he's having a good time walking on the water. But, but a wave. The waves start coming over him. And how many of you hate to have water in your mouth? Okay, so he's probably got smashed with the water. Okay, and the waves are coming. And there's probably there's lightning cracking over on this side. And I just don't like lightning and thunder. It's just, yeah. Okay, so he looked at the wave. And guess what? Blah, 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 blah. He started to sink, right? You all know the story. He started to sink because all hell breaks loose when you lose your faith. That's all that was, right? So praise the Lord, Jesus reaches out, brings him back up, and the two of them start walking back to, you know, and he probably goes, man, this is so cool. It works, all right? That was really cool. I love it. But when Jesus reached out to grab him, this is my version. He's going, focus, focus. My kids were little, I grabbed their chin because they'd be like, grab their chin, focus, focus, listen to mommy. He's going, focus, focus, come. I said, come. All right? Jesus is saying, focus. Focus on what? The word that God spoke to you is the truth. The word that you read is the truth. And you have to stay focused on that when all hell breaks loose. Amen? Okay. Number two, second thing you do when all hell breaks loose when you release your faith, okay? What do you do? Number two, confess the truth. Confess the truth. On week two, we did the whole lesson about the words of your mouth and the confession of the word, okay? So go sign up. There's a card in front of you. Sign up. You can get a free CD. Go online. Listen to it. But let me tell you a funny story that has to do with that. How many of you have know what autocorrect is on your text messaging? And even email. I got a new one. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty good, especially when my spelling's so bad. Okay, autocorrect. All right. So this is a true story. My daughter Cassie lives in Kansas City, Missouri. And by the way, she's going to be here on Sunday the 5th, and that is why we have a guest speaker, because I'm going to sit with my grandchild and you guys. And I'm going to go. Okay. So that's why we have a guest speaker. Anyway, so Cassie was telling me about a couple that they're good friends with. I don't know what her name is. I forgot. He's a techie. Her husband is a techie. He works from some big old company. He's a techie. And what he did is he took her cell phone and he reprogrammed the text, the auto text. I don't know how you do it. I just think it's really good. I can press, you know, ping. So he reprogrammed it so that every time she texted his name, Jeremy, it said, my Lord. You guys, Only a guy, right? Only a guy would do that. So he made the auto-correct, type in, my Lord. So she was like, hey, Jeremy, so-and-so's coming over. My Lord, because so-and-so's coming over. And she didn't get it for a while. And finally, she, you know, because a lot of times I'll send text messages and bink, and then they text me back. What's the matter with you? I was like, oops. You know, I said something like, oops, wrong person. Oh, yeah. Send something to the wrong person. Oh, my golly. I have many apologies here. Okay. So anyway, so finally she figured it, you know, she said, Jeremy, what's the matter? And he cracked up and said, this is what's going on. So the reason why I tell you, I think you and I need some auto-correct on the things we see. Okay. I think we need to have the attitude when we see things and then we want to say things that are just not what God wants out of our mouth. So you find a promise. You're like, this is mine. God, you cannot lie. This is for me. I believe I received that. And then you see something that's just the opposite of it. Okay? That's where our autocorrect is. And we're going to go, nope. Nope, nope, nope. I am not going to say that. I am only going to say what God says. And God, you are responsible for your word. I'm waiting. Okay? Praise God. One more. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Last one. This one's amazing, and you can't do without it. This is the last one. Stand on the truth. Stand on the truth. So we have to stand on the truth. Praise God. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, this is my last scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, aka when all hell breaks loose, right? When all hell breaks loose, when the problems are up to your eyeballs, okay, this is what that's talking about. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to what? Stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Praise God. So you have this armor, you put your armor on, okay? And then what you do is you pray this promise to God, and you get your spiritual sword out, and you're, okay? And that means you're speaking God's word, all righty? You're speaking what God's word says about what's going on in your life. You're speaking only what God says in your life. Okay, do you know you can do all those things? You can do all those things. Those are things you need to do, all right? Find the scripture, speak the word, be in faith, okay? But your answer doesn't always come immediately. Anybody? I would like, come on. I prayed that. Come on. It doesn't always immediately, you don't immediately see it. All righty? So, what do you do? Ephesians just told you, stand. Stand. Gosh, wasn't a couple of years ago, I think it was a couple of decades ago, I got to work with, it was my boss actually at the JCC, and she would teach class and then she'd kind of oversee. And she'd come in and she'd do this. I'm like, well, guess what? She was military. Dad was military. She was military. And I watched military. When they, you think they're just standing? No, no, no. They got this. They got this going on. That's what you need to do. You need to stand military style. Not get knocked over. Okay, you need to stand. So when all hell breaks loose, when you lose your faith, golly gee whiz, you need to stand. And sometimes people go, well, Pastor D, you know, I prayed this prayer and it should fix it. Well, guys, it did. You prayed the word of God. It did. But maybe it's going to take a while. But it's done. It's done. You know, I used to laugh. God doesn't wear a watch. Only humans do. It's done. All right. So when it's done, what are you going to do? Stand. Praise God. Now, what's the enemy want to do? He's going to try to attack you with doubt and strife and problems. And what does he want you to do? He wants you to back off the word of God. Just back away from it. Okay? And I will personally say I've dropped some things. I've backed off some things. So that's why I've been preparing for this for the last couple months. I was like, all right, I'm back. Pastor D's back, all right? You know, anytime that I have stepped out for things for God, especially, man, guaranteed, all hell breaks loose. All righty. How about this? The Lord's been dealing with you, just wooing you nicely. He doesn't beat you. I need to spend more time with you, honey. The Lord's just telling you, I need to spend more time with you. AKA, you need to spend more time with God, all right? So you're just like, God, you're right. There's especially, guys, holidays. What did I see on TV? 65 more days till Christmas? Oh, my gosh. Something like that, all right? You need to spend more time with God. So what you should do is, okay, all right. Lord, you're drawing my heart to spend more time. You want me to go up to another level in the things that you want me to experience in life. So you know what? Tonight, I set my alarm 30 minutes early, right? And I go to bed because I am going to step out on the word that God spoke to my heart. That night, the middle of the night, some little kid of mine is tapping me and waking me up. I threw up. Okay, now when they were kids in the crib, I was like, great. I just take the four corners of the sheets, throw it in the water. I just stick it on the floor and put them back down. But when they're big, when they throw up in the bed, on the carpet, as they're walking down the hall to tell me, yeah, this happened. And so now I'm cleaning up, throw up, I'm throwing kids in the shower, and I get to bed late, like it takes like an hour or so, and then they're crying. Okay, all hell broke loose when you loosed your faith. Anybody, any moms ever had that? Just the day. Yep. All right, praise the Lord. Just only me. Hallelujah. Guys, so let's wrap up. Every time you make a decision to step out on the word of God, the promises of God, the things that God says about you for your life, for your loved ones, for anything that's going on in your life, anytime you decide you're going to step out and believe, all hell breaks loose. So I hope it encouraged you because we need to focus on the truth. At that time, you focus on it. You better find it and you better focus on it. Okay, mom finger, I'm sorry. Anyway, you should focus on it. You should confess it and you should stand. I was like, yeah. Sorry, I can't have it. Let's close in prayer. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a good time to pray. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. I did my best to teach this truth in your word. I thank you, Father, for making us aware of these truths. I thank you, Father, because there's another half to this battle. And we're not going to freak out, Lord, when we see things happening in our lives. Father, I thank you that I have taught this word clearly. You have spoken to hearts. I thank you, Father, you have spoken to hearts. Thank you. Thank you. And I thank you. You encourage them. You give them direction on stepping out and changes. And I thank you, Father, that you the direction is encouraging. Hallelujah. And Lord, you have made us overcomers. I thank you for that. And I thank you, Father, there is always victory at the end of the storm, and that your people just have that great confidence that you are God, you are good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. Let's just let the Holy Spirit just keep talking to you about areas in your life. Like he really pulled up some things that I let go, that I taken a step in, and then I just backed off. Just let the Holy Spirit just encourage you. Say, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm going to step back over there. I thank you, Father, your word's true. If you said it, I receive it. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay, one more thing with heads down, eyes closed. Maybe you came here today and you were just eyes open. Like, I didn't know there was a God that loved. I didn't know that he's done great things. And I want to tell you, we have a good God, and he has always got good news. And the good news is that Jesus came to die for you, to give you a life. And my question is for everybody here. Do you remember a time where you said, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. So I want to ask you, if you can't remember that, can I tell you today could be the greatest day of your life? Today you could receive the Lord Jesus, and He will change your life. He will give you life. Heaven will be your home. God the Father will be your Father. Man, and He just bring a freshness in your life, a peace in your life. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I've never done that, but I want that in my life. Would you raise your hand? Everybody's eyes are closed. All right. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor D, I would like that. I want that. I need that. I need that.